Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Thanks for joining us for another We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. I'm Nancy Meyer, and I'm joined in the studio for the fourth mentoring session, and we're continuing a very, very deeper conversation with Jennifer Nelson. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there.
And we ventured into our conversation when Jennifer was expressing that what she would like to do is kind of understand. She's had a creative block, and it's shown up in her fine art work. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah. And so as she was expressing her deeper feelings of a kind of feeling manipulated, what were some of the other feelings? Sad and tearful and disillusioned. I'm imagining that you're in a different place today.
A little bit better today, including the impatient to sort of move on and move out of all that, you know.
Right.
That list of and dark stuff.
Art mimicking life.
Yeah. Yes, I do have some series of artwork that will come out of some of this too.
I think that that's the beauty of when we're doing this deeper work. It changes our perspective and how we express ourselves on many different levels.
Yes.
You know, not only in communication, but also in whatever work that we do. And yep. For you as a fine artist, I remember also in your house, on your dresser, you had a piece of artwork that you'd done after you broke up with a person in your relationship. I can't remember exactly what the...
Oh, was it a love toy?
Yeah.
It was a series of hearts on wheels.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and they were a pretty dark place. Yeah,
yes.
Most of them
yes.
had to do with the dark side of love.
You know. Yes, and I thought, what a beautiful way to express, you know, the depth of pain that you were in.
Yes.
Not fun,
no.
But beautiful what comes out of it. And so we delved into Brené Brown's work a little bit because you also have been listening to...
Yes, loving it.
Yeah, her podcast. Is it a book on tape?
No, we've just been listening online.
Okay.
We ordered the book online, and I think
The Daring Greatly?
Or
Rising Strong?
All three.
Okay. So,
and we listened to them on a road trip, and it's been a while now. And they just... So they all blend together for me at the moment, but... covered a lot of most of the three.
Okay. Yeah, each one does kind of...
But you're taking the class, which I'm really like interested in hearing more about because like I've thought about taking it.
Oh.
The CourageWorks.com with her directly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's a whole semester. So we started in
Fantastic.
January and it goes through May.
Yep. And I have another friend who's doing it as well.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, and I'm meeting with someone, which she has, like, this is the best online class I've ever taken.
Oh, good to hear.
Yeah, because she's so thorough.
I'm not surprised. She's very dynamic and interesting.
Yes, and her research is really profoundly moving, and the exercises that you do really help you integrate
nice.
And understand the process of healing yourself.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. So one of the things that came out of her research was the anatomy of trust. And last week, we were talking about the first acronym, BRA, boundaries. So you respect my boundaries. And when you're not clear about what's okay and not okay, you ask and you're willing to say no. The R stands for reliability. You do what you say you'll do. At work, this means staying aware of your competencies and limitations so you don't overpromise and you're able to deliver on commitments and also balance competing priorities. And I think that that takes a lot of practice in understanding how we work and how we deliver things to clients or how we talk about some tough issues when they're boundary breaches.
Yep. One thing I'd like to say about reliability that we covered in one of our other sessions is I have adored that new client that I have that wanted infographics.
Oh, yes.
And what I was so delighted about was that I was able to be transparent with her about the fact that I hadn't done a lot of work in PowerPoint, and she now wants me to do both these infographics and then cut up some graphic elements to place into these reports that are within PowerPoint. So, but I'm very interested in being reliable, but I'm also, it was very great to be transparent and truthful and say I hadn't worked in that. And then she, you know, loved that, took me on as almost a student. At the same time, she's willing to use me as the graphic designer that I am, but somebody who's willing to learn a new tool. And it's been really rewarding because, again, sort of in business, you feel like you just have to put on that brave face and say, yep, I can do it, and then scramble behind the scenes to figure out how am I going to get this done?
Right.
You know, who am I going to use to create my virtual team to really, no kidding, get this done for them? And you can't always do, you know, you just don't always admit those things. And so,
yeah, so you showed up, you showed up being authentic.
I guess authentic and truthful and just like, exposing yourself in a way that you're willing to admit that there's something that you don't know.
Yes.
And then they're like, well, let me teach you then. It's really pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then, you
that
know,
was a really great experience, and it built a really strong bond between the two of you.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, for being a new relationship, client relationship, it's, it probably did build quite a bit of strength in that.
Sure. And the A is for accountability. So you own your mistakes, apologize, and make amends. And sometimes that's hard, depending upon the person's self-awareness. Or if they're really feeling insecure, it sometimes comes out in competing in a relationship instead of compromising and collaborating. And that can be kind of tricky because they're looking to win over everything else.
Yeah, like there's got to be a winner and a loser.
Yeah,
in that
exactly.
Whole thing. Yep.
Yes. So, so far, is there anything that's resonating regarding your block that you're feeling?
In regard to what we've covered so far in braving and so on, boundaries, reliability.
Well, and you're feeling like your block is tied to some of your family of origin issues.
You bet.
Unresolved issues that have come up from a passing of your dad a couple years ago?
I wouldn't say it.
Is that related?
I probably dealt with some stuff regarding my father.
Yeah. But has the boundaries changed with other family members?
Yeah, they've definitely changed with my mother.
Okay. And so everybody handles grief differently.
Yep.
And everybody comes out of grief differently.
Yes.
So as you've gone into the process to understand yourself better, and you've changed some of the boundaries that you've had, and you're not getting exactly the response that you were hoping for, but where are you?
Well, we're sort of at a stopping point. So
okay.
I wouldn't even say that I haven't gotten the results I've been hoping. Well, you can't get different results if you haven't done anything differently. And if anything, right now, we're just estranged. We're just not
communicating.
We're not communicating. So there's nowhere that for that to go with each other currently.
Yes.
And I'm also not sure what I'm willing to take on and bring back to that. I'm not sure. For me, it was like what we talked about last time about maybe it's like a client now worth having.
Yeah.
You know, and so you have your family that you, your family of choice.
Yes.
In this life, as well as the family of origin and
right
people you're related to, as well as people you want to be related to.
Yes.
And so
you're sorting
I'm
through
sorting
that.
Through it for myself, impatient to move on and out of that, not just to get past it, but, you know, get through it. And
so feel
and it's taking
your
up too much of my creative. It's just really taking up too much of my creative space.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've realized, you know, ongoingly in the last at least half a year or more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So that piece is becoming a little bit more clear, but I think it might take a while for you to get comfortable with where you're at. And I think when you make a decision and you say this relationship isn't working, I've done everything I possibly can. I've exhausted all my options. And so if it still isn't working at this point, it isn't about me. It's me saying, good, I'm glad I did everything I could to work this relationship out. I now need to continue my path and see what happens later.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had the opportunity, if I may guess, that to remain in that relationship and work on it or work through it or give opportunity to it. And I'm actually in a place with mine that has me just not even being willing to be in the space of that.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with me, myself, and I, and anyone who is in my life about that.
And I'm
with the maybe source, I guess.
Let me just clarify. Okay. I can be on both sides of it because I have some estranged siblings.
Okay.
And we were in relationship. I thought we were working through things. And then things collapsed over a period of time. And each sibling has a perspective on what happened, or if one person is in relationship with parents and one isn't. I mean, that's always a dicey situation to be in. And so I have, you know, some that are estranged and then others I'm still in communication with.
Yeah.
But I think that's the hardest part, is to come to terms with, if you've done everything, then it's like, it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
But it's harder with family because it's like in the realm of the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people out there, you know, and you can make choices all the time and sort of have the attitude that you win some, you lose some.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter that everyone likes me, or, you know, it doesn't matter that some people dislike me or whatever. And it doesn't really ever get close to the core. But when there are people you are, you know, by blood related to,
yes,
people who you're supposed to be related to, and that doesn't work, it's much harder to take, you know, to look at the wins and losses and accept the losses, you know.
Well, because it's a deep pain.
Yeah.
It's not an easy solution. Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about Brené's work on vulnerability and shame, and what are some of the things that she found in the research. I mean, that's where you come out of it with curiosity and resiliency, is by going into the deep pain of it. And if you're out there leading and growing, you're going to fall. And the Rising Strong process helps you kind of pull your way up. So I think her class would be great for you. I think the Anatomy of Trust, for our listeners, we're on V for Vault. This is another element where sorting out where you can trust a person and where you can't helps you figure out where to put your investment of time and energy. So within the vault, it's you don't share information or experiences that are not yours to share. I need to know that my confidences are kept and that you're not sharing with me any information about other people that should be confidential. Like, I've been in relationship with people who they're listening very attentively, and I think they're offering me a lot of empathy. But the reason they're tracking all the details is because they're telling other people about it.
Oh.
So that's a way that they're kind of having a connection with somebody else that's very superficial, because they don't really want to have a deep, you know, intimate connection with another person.
Yeah.
And so if you have a situation with someone where, you know, like, this person may have outside of, you know, the vault, which, you know, is connected with boundaries, they're a pretty reliable person. You know, when I get together with them, if something isn't working in the relationship, they're very accountable with, but they can't keep a secret. And so they say to me, this person in particular, you know, think of it as a billboard when you tell me something.
Yeah.
That whatever I share with you.
That's right.
And I said, well, that's freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will think of it that way.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I'm sorry, I won't be able to trust you more.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, I had a friend like that too, where it's like, if you wanted something broadcasted, you know, tell her a secret.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the last three parts of the BRAVING acronym that are related to the anatomy of trust are integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. So integrity is you choose courage. This is what she said she found really, she couldn't find a really good definition for integrity. So she took all the data and then she picked and chose until she put together a definition that she feels is workable for integrity. It's you choose courage over comfort. You choose what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy. And you choose to practice your values rather than simply professing them.
Nice.
And then she has a values exercise where you pick, you eventually pick like two that are your lantern, guiding lights. So if you're off kilter, you can come back to these two values to kind of get grounded nice. And centered again.
Does some of all this find its way into what I've heard about is the manifesto as well? Is
yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm excited about that part of it too.
Yeah, I think
you know, just to have
you
almost like your own, you know, positioning line or mission statement or whatever.
Yes, I put mine on my website.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The non-judgment is I can ask for what I need and you can ask for what you need. We can talk about what we feel without being judged. So you feel, you know, that's where empathy is there and there's a deep connection there. And the generosity also I thought was pretty eye-opening. That's you extend the most generous interpretation possible to the intentions, words, and actions of others. So when you trust somebody deeply and they mess up, you have the most generous response.
It's hard sometimes.
Think of it. Yeah, right. Exactly. But you're thinking of them in terms of the best light. So if there is a mistake that happens, or you're running late, or you miss a deadline or something, because you know the person and there's a level of trust that you have, you're thinking about them in the most generous way.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So how do you think you'll use this?
Any way I can, as often as I can, because it's all such good stuff. I mean, really, it has you be 100% accountable for your own life.
Yes.
Not a victim.
Yes.
It's very empowering to think about being generous with somebody who's hurt your feelings because you have to get over your little wound and your woundedness.
Yes.
To actually even have that generosity. And it's building a muscle of sorts, you know, to just maybe just not be take anything so personally, you know.
Yeah. Even though it affects us at a personal level,
yeah,
we're able to work our way through it. And I think in all her work and what all the research she's done, she always makes sure that you also apply these things to yourself. So when you mess up, you have the most generous interpretation.
Yeah. Right. Like forgiving yourself and stuff.
Absolutely. And you can't, you know, really have full growth and change your life and revolutionize it without kind of rumbling with your own feelings about things and finding a way to forgive yourself and the people who have hurt you.
True.
Have you done a lot of forgiveness work in your life? I don't know what exactly that means as far as
good
a lot, but
question, big question and deep question, because I would say that I've gotten through things. I would say that I would give lip service to I've forgiven. But when I think about the last 2 years of my life, wasting some mental space on a bad or dark topic,
okay,
I would say there's probably not a lot of forgiveness there just yet.
Yeah.
I've tried and I have my moments. Mm-hmm. I have my moments of like, you know, it's sort of this doesn't bother me today. And I can send kind thoughts in a certain direction and just say I'm not going to allow all that to impact my day.
Okay.
But I don't know about forgiveness just yet.
Okay.
I don't know. Have I had a lot of forgiveness in my life? I think that we might all be able to say we have a lot to forgive in our life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that clearly right now.
Okay.
I try.
Yeah.
I try, and I've been able to forgive a lot of little things here and there with people and events and so on.
Well, if you
but
ever...
there's the ones that are, you know, like they don't, they barely dent the core, and then there's the ones that hit you in the core.
Yeah.
That are so much deeper that...
There's a person that changed my life and my understanding about, actually two people, but one was a workshop that I went through with Mary Hayes Greco. And she offers forgiveness workshops, either individually or in a group. And when I was really struggling my brother had flipped a tractor over on him, and it landed on his arm. And I was on the other tractor, and there was one tractor that was stuck. And the one tractor was trying to pull the other tractor out. Through that experience, I was in my teens, and it was, I think, the second year that we had moved to the farm, and I was really traumatized by the experience, but I couldn't really talk about it because we were just so grateful that he survived and with just a broken arm.
Right.
And then a number of years later, a woman approached me when she approached my brother and myself. And she had talked to us. Somehow we got into, I think my brother was in a sling yet. And so she had talked to him about, you know, asked him what happened. And so then he shared what happened. And she said, my son's was on a tractor and it flipped over. And the steering wheel landed right on his chest and he died instantly. And, you know, so you go through different experiences with that.
Yeah.
And you different levels, and you don't realize that years later, when I would go out running, I would have like a post-traumatic stress where I would see him falling, you know, every time. And, you know, every time I went running, like every day for like several weeks. And I'm like, God, is it?
Yeah.
So finally I went to get some help, and I went through a forgiveness workshop because I felt, with my brother, he was a very adventurous spirit, loved him to death.
Mm-hmm.
He was older than I was. He's no longer alive. He had endangered my life on a number of occasions. And And so anyways, I went through a forgiveness workshop, and I was so grateful because I was able to be in relationship with him, and I didn't have it all piled up so that I couldn't talk to him anymore. And that I was so grateful that I went through that because I was able to connect with him before he passed away. He had died from cancer when he was 37 with three young kids.
Wow.
It was pretty, intense. But I, you know, so Mary Hayes Greco did this workshop, and she asked for volunteers. And so I was the one person who volunteered to, you know, go through the process for everybody else. But I had really, cried, and I didn't realize, you know, sometimes you don't realize how much you have inside your body and how much you need to get it out of your body in order to really heal.
Yes.
And so with some of this deep stuff, there are physical workshops that you can do to get the pain out of your body, so that it doesn't morph into, you know, other areas of our lives in a really, traumatizing way. So much for that story.
That's pretty. It's a good story. It's a powerful story, and I'm happy for you that a forgiveness workshop gave you such a release. And it's like it makes me want to do that same thing because I can't even answer your question about have I forgiven. And it's like it's not as clear as no. I would say I have forgiven frequently, but probably not thoroughly, and maybe not as much of a purge as it sounds like you got from just really big, you know, getting it out.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. And the process that she has to, you can use it later in other relationships, but you know, there aren't a lot. I feel of situations where you have this depth of grief that you're experiencing. You know, I because if we had too many, I mean, I just don't know how you can handle it.
Yeah, if you had too many?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, right in a row or, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so life is complicated. You know, we're human beings.
Right.
The elements of our psyche that are very fragile.
Yep.
And so as we're aging, we're really in a position to really become better or bitter.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very, very conscious, deliberate decision that we need to make.
True. Also, I think, though, that's like it really has, in my opinion, it feels a little bit like you have, it has less to do with how many things there are for me to get over as just the core of it being forgiveness about however many there are. And you could actually, like, I am hopeful that, you know, if I just really take on what there is for me to forgive, say with one person,
yeah,
that I guess that maybe is what you're trying to say, is that that helps you take that on. You'll take on your life in the future a whole different way.
Right.
And I might knock down two or three things that have been plaguing me for years.
Yeah.
With one, you know, forgiveness thing without even necessarily dealing with each and every one of those. You know what I mean?
Yes. And if you
like
have...
if there's a pivotal one or something, I don't know.
Well, and if you found yourself... gravitating toward Brené Brown's work,
mm-hmm.
Then there's something you're craving
yeah.
to understand the process of how to come to terms with this and make a decision about it, because you're in a position to revolutionize your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have this natural curiosity to kind of peek our heads out like, what else can I learn next?
Yes.
You know, this is painful. I don't know that I have the tools to dig it out by myself, but I'm going to peer out and see what resources are there, and you just kind of naturally kind of go into it. But like you're saying, I mean, we're going back and forth. With the Mary Hayes Greco work, I had a number of different bruises in my relationship with my brother that were clouding mm-hmm. my view to be in relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because I loved him so much,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to do the work for myself,
yeah.
even if he didn't do the work.
Yeah.
I needed to do this for myself because that's what I do when I love someone.
Yeah.
And so I sorted that out for myself, and it helped connect and help me connect with him in a way that profoundly changed, where I was with him when he passed away.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's, and I don't feel like I need to keep doing that work.
Sure.
But you know, there's different pieces of it.
Yep.
That you do with different people along
the
path.
You bet.
But once you get a certain skill set,
yep.
and it's all connected with forgiveness. Like there's this part of us who just, that's why we have religion and spirituality in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're spiritual beings and we have to work at it. We're here to do some work.
Right.
But part of our ego, you know, is just really entrenched. Like, I just don't want to go there. I don't want to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like they're so in the wrong.
Yeah.
That there's no way that, you know, any part of this could be my fault.
Yeah.
But it really isn't about right
or wrong. Yeah.
Who's right or wrong. It's really about how can I get to this deep place
yeah.
in myself to heal my heart.
Yeah.
So that I can keep moving and unlock my creative energy in a new way.
Yep.
Because you're ready to deal with this.
Yep.
If this is showing up as a block.
Yep.
Yeah.
So ready.
I think we're done. Yeah?
Well, not yet, but yes. For this session, we are just getting started.
This is really an enriching
conversation. Yeah, it's been great for me too. Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, I just really appreciate you being willing to do this and to share with our listeners. I think you're going to be helping a lot of people through by just giving them permission to open up like you have. So we'll keep tracking your progress.
All right. Yes, please do. Somebody spot me.
All right.
For
thanks for being here. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks, Mike, for being attuned. to our conversation and enriching us by your presence. And thanks for your work, too. Ditto. We'll see you next Monday.